Please take your seats. Well, it's incredible to have Sam here this morning to do that introduction, because it is very much an introduction to what I want to share, because we're looking at a new series where we're looking at the book of Acts, and we're looking at the book of Acts, and the subtitle for this is A Church in Transition. No, that wasn't quite as hearty as the other part. But the reality is that Sam has highlighted the very points I think God wants to impress upon us as we head from where we are to where God wants us to be. And that is, we are a people in transition. We are people on the move. We are a people who need to change from what we are to what God wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Now you need to turn to the person next to you and say, you need to change. I am all in favor of everyone else changing. But the challenge comes when God points a finger at you and says, I want you to change. How many married ladies in here believe husbands should change? Yeah, I saw that, Jeff. But we need to be those who are ready to respond to what Jesus is doing. And as we look at this series over the next weeks and months, I want to give a backdrop to the whole series, which is not Acts chapter 1. We get to that in a moment. But I want to begin with John chapter 1 verse 14, because I believe this gives us the foundation upon which we build change, on which we reach into God for all that he has got for us, where John writes, the word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son of God, who came from the Father. And what's next? Full of grace and truth. God, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he comes after me, has surpassed me, because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And it is this foundational belief in the grace of God expressed through Jesus which is the backdrop for us as we press into what God has got for us in the future. It was the backdrop for the church in Acts. They had experienced incredible grace, which we will come on to in a moment. And it was that grace, I believe, which enabled them to move forward and to achieve all that God wanted them to achieve. We have the book of Acts of the Apostles. Some think it should be called Acts of the Holy Spirit. Might I suggest we call it the book of Acts of Grace? Because everything we read of in the book is a result of the grace of God revealed through Jesus to his people. Amen? Luke writes, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command. And we should all be able to repeat this now. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. On to verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when we look, sometimes we can look at the promise that Jesus gives, but forget it comes from him himself. That promise is a gift of grace to God's people. Yes. It all flows from him. And it is his presence that enables us to transition and be transformed from what we are to what he wants us to become. If we look at the book of Acts, it covers a period of some 30 to 35 years. And in that period, this church transitioned in the most amazingly powerful way. It transitions in terms of spiritual life, where miracles are an everyday norm for that community. They are transformed in numerical growth, with thousands added to the church again and again and again. They are transformed in terms of geographical reach, where the story begins in Jerusalem but ends in Paul in Rome, and it's going to the ends of the earth. And this church, which we often hold up as a model, we need to recognize it was in this permanent state of transition, not as a result of cleverly devised programs, but it is a result of the empowering and the indwelling presence of Jesus through the Spirit, which causes them to move on and to achieve tremendous things in his name, because he was present with them in power. They're changing because Jesus was leading them on, and they were obedient to him in every situation. And so as we read through Acts, you know, when persecution comes in Acts, this does not catch God by surprise. It says, you know, persecution came. What happened? The church is scattered. They're scattered. What do they do as they are scattered? They carry the gospel. They carry the presence of Jesus with them. So wherever they are, Jerusalem or to the ends of the earth, they're carrying the very presence of Jesus, his message, and the kingdom grows. And so transition is the result of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as a church, that is what we are committed to. We are not committed to traditions. We are not committed to doing things the same way we used to do them. But we are not committed to finding gimmicks either. We want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. What is God saying to us now for tomorrow? And that has got to be the guiding word for us as a community. And so as we look at any community of believers, there ought to be that sense of permanent change being built in to their very DNA. I believe if we are not changing as the people of God, we are starting to die. Because Jesus is leading us on. Jesus always has more for us than we have so far received. Isn't that great news? If we are the same in a year's time as we are now, we have missed out on what Jesus has for us. Amen. That is great news for the person sitting next to you. It really is. You know, we think we can cope with change, but all we need to do is move the seats. Now, seriously, if we change the seating configuration here on a Sunday, many people coming to this will have a crisis. Now, how do I know this? Because in the past we have done it. And it is a great exercise to stand at the back and just watch people head for their normal seat. It's not there. And they say, oh, what should I do? We are the people who embrace change, but don't change where I sit. And by the way, that does apply to all ages. It was interesting watching some of our younger brethren arrive this morning, where the seats over here were full. And so there's this momentary crisis. You know, the people I'm talking about know. We say we like change, but it is a challenge. But as we embrace the change that Jesus wants to bring, then we will see incredible things happen as we step into the future that God has got for us. Writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, we are being transformed into the image of God from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Spirit. That being transformed, that transition is all of the work of the Spirit, and we need to cooperate with what God wishes to do. But it's all of grace. It's not a result of our hard work. It's us responding to the grace of God revealed through Jesus. And it's only possible as we recognize the grace that has already been poured out upon us. The grace of God is greater than your weakness. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Well, three people accept that. That's marvelous. But we need to recognize that the grace of God is sufficient for us as we say to him, here am I, accept me as I am. I want to press on into all that you have got for me. You see, we're not only saved through grace, we're sustained through grace. And the Jesus who was full of grace 2,000 years ago is still full of grace today. Yes. And as we come to him, we can receive his grace to overcome our weaknesses, our failings, because he knows them. Have you tried to keep a failing a secret from God? It doesn't work. He knows. And yet he still says, my son, my daughter, my grace is sufficient for you. I will take you from who you are, from what you are, and as we work together, I will transform you into what I want you to be. The book of Acts is all about the grace of God. And I want us to consider, because this is something I think we can so easily overlook. Jesus comes and in chapter 1 he makes this most incredible promise of the Spirit, a promise that we are still living in the goodness of today. He makes this most amazing promise, but we often overlook considering the group to whom Jesus makes the promise. We concentrate on the promise, but we forget about the people who receive the promise. And as we look at the people who receive the promise, there is incredible encouragement for us, because they had all the weaknesses, they had all the failings as we have, and yet Jesus still makes the promise to those people. Now consider the group that Jesus appears to. Consider the group that he makes the promise of the Spirit to. Where were they when Jesus faces trials, the scourging, the crucifixion? Where were these so-called followers then? Well, as we read through the gospel accounts, we see there's some mention of some of the women who watch at a distance. We hear little of the men. There's mention of the Peter, who gets near enough to be accused of being one of the disciples, one of the followers of Jesus, and we know how that works out. But there is so little mention of where these people were when Jesus is facing his toughest trials. Where were they? And it is to these men and women who were not to be found during the trials and crucifixion that Jesus makes the promise. I think that is absolutely amazing. This is where the grace of Jesus just shines out. You see, I think if I had been Jesus, stretch of the imagination, if I had been Jesus, I would have wanted to bring them into line first and remind them of their failings. I would have wanted to have recited everything that they got wrong and asked the question, where were you when I needed you? I would have wanted to really grind them down before I lifted them up. In fact, at that point, I may not have even bothered to lift them up. But it is the grace of Jesus. He comes to these people. There is no record of Jesus reminding them of their failures. In John, we have Jesus restoring Peter. Great attention is given to this restoration of Peter, because Jesus has an incredible mission for Peter to fulfill. But there's no mention of Jesus taking them to one side and going over. It says he explained to them about the kingdom. He talked about the kingdom. He didn't talk to them about their failures. And very often, I think, as the people of God, we try to explain ourselves out of the promises of God by looking at ourselves rather than looking at the grace, the mercy, and the truth revealed in Jesus. And that is our hope. All that is in Jesus is in our hope. If we are looking to ourselves, we are doomed to failure. A church that looks to its own self is doomed to failure. But a church that looks to the grace and truth revealed in Jesus has an incredible future, because Jesus is moving on, he's walking on, and he's saying to us, come on, I want you to follow. Let's go down this road together. And there is a glorious inheritance for those who are in step with Jesus. And so Jesus makes this promise, not because they were worthy, not because they were good enough, not because they were holy enough, but because of his grace. Yeah. We are here today because of the grace of God. There's no other reason for it. We are here because of the grace of God. He is the promise maker, and he is the promise keeper. As we look at that, this unfolding story of Acts, I believe there is this deep understanding of the grace of God, the riches of God's grace manifested in and through Jesus. They knew what they had done. But of course, the interesting thing is on the other side, they do not dwell on what they had been. They want to press in to what God wants them to be. And so we need to look upwards. We need to look to Jesus as those early disciples did, recognizing our weaknesses and recognizing that the grace of God is sufficient to lead me from where I am to where Jesus wants me to be. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is the grace of God. This flows from the fullness of his grace, that we have all received grace upon grace. It's very interesting that when you read through the book of Acts, to forget the time frame. Now, I'm trying not to stray into the other chapters of Acts. I'm doing my best not to preach John's sermon next week from Acts chapter 2. But it's very easy to read, because you read through and you forget that years may have passed from one chapter to the next. And I'm very, very often quote from Acts 19 with Paul in Ephesus. And Paul comes to these believers and says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, the time frame here is, I think, really interesting. From the day of Pentecost until this question is asked, it's about 20 years. Now, I find this is incredible. You know, we might think it's a few, don't you? When you read through, you think, oh, it's a few days, a couple of weeks. It's 20 years from the day of Pentecost to Paul asking this question of those, that group there in Ephesus. And what Paul is really saying is, the promise that Jesus made on the in the run-up to Pentecost is still available to be fulfilled 20 years on, and is still available to be fulfilled 2,000 years on, and will still be available to be fulfilled until Jesus returns. It is only the return of Jesus that makes this promise irrelevant, because he will be here in physical form as he establishes his kingdom and his rule. But 20 years after the day of Pentecost, Paul is saying to the people, have you received the fullness of this promise for yourself that Jesus made 20 years ago? And as we run through this book, we'll be asking that same question. Have you received the fulfillment of that promise? You know, we recognize that when someone becomes a Christian, It's the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus he made all those years ago. When someone is baptized in the Spirit, it's someone being it's the fulfillment of that promise that Jesus made 2,000 years ago. That is grace in action. Do we recognize when someone is filled with the Spirit, it is the grace of God in action? We are here because of the grace of God. What a crew Jesus had before him in those 40 days as he appeared to various people. And we are told in the book of Chronicles that he appeared to a group of over 500 at one point. It just means you've got those 500 were as challenged as the rest of us in terms of how we respond to Jesus in times of difficulty. But our hope, as we look to the future, our hope as we move from who we are, what we are now, to what God wants us to be, it's all as a result of his grace. Paul, writing to Ephesians, says this, and it's a very, very well-known passage. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are the result of the grace of God. God's grace has brought us safe thus far. I'm not going to sing. And grace will lead us on. Can we have the musicians sing us back? Can we stand together? As a community of God's people, we are committed to transition from who we are to what God wants us to be. We are committed not to miss out on the very best that God has got for us. God save us from those perhaps getting to that point where we look back and think, if only. We do not want to be an if only people. We want to be a people who grasp all that God has got for us. Run with Jesus and leave that result to Jesus to see what he wants to produce in and through us. Where were the men? Men, I want to give a challenge. I want to give a challenge to men of all ages here to rededicate yourself this morning to the purposes of God, to the calling of God. I believe, generally speaking, I could be shot for this, but who cares? I believe there is a sensitivity among the sisters and spiritual things that sometimes eludes men. There are many women in this congregation who will attest to that. But I believe we as a new generation need to give ourselves afresh. Just pondering over the role of men. It was the ladies who went to the tomb. And they came back and told the men, and the men followed. There's a universal principle involved there. Never send a man to look for anything. John gets it. Have you heard of a man look? Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To all of us, let's just give ourselves afresh in this moment. that as we give ourselves afresh, say, Jesus, lead us on as a community. We do not want to be the same next year as we are now, because we know, Jesus, you have deeper waters to lead us into. You have a deeper relationship to lead us into. And we do not want to be those who miss out. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray by your grace right now. I just ask you, will just rest upon each and every one of us. Come, Lord. Just allow the Spirit of God just to minister to you. We're not having a ministry session as such, but just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Give yourself afresh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Challenging times. Thank you, Lord. How many people have exams over this next couple of months? Just put your hand up if you've got exams. I just want to pray for you. I particularly want to pray for those who aren't quite sure. Their hands are going up and down. You need revelation, brother or sister. Father, I want to pray for each and every brother and sister who has exams over these next weeks. I ask, Lord, that in Jesus' name they will know your peace. They will know your provision. That you will bless them in the writing. You will bless them in the revision. And that they will just be an incredible testimony to others, not because of their goodness, but because of your grace. Lord, let them shine for you in this situation. Let non-Christians see your grace manifested through your people as they face these challenging times. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship.